Thanks for listening to the Get Over Yourself podcast, brought to you by Carol Fit Stationary Bike Program, 8-minute workouts to get super fit. Perfect Keto, the cleanest, highest potency ketone supplements. MOFO, male optimization formula with organs to boost testosterone. Let's Get Checked, at home testing kits. Try LGC.com. Almost Heaven, beautiful compact home use sauna kits. Brad's Macadamia Masterpiece, the mind-blowing nut butter blend. And check out bradkearns.com/shop, my personal selection of favorite products for health, fitness, and peak performance. And here we go with the show.
Testosterone, DHEA, and how does that function at the cellular level? What was the mechanism of action? How can that work? How can we use that to our favor? And will that increase or decrease the risk of breast cancer? No associated increased risk. So, okay, well, let's use some testosterone. We'll do some vaginal testosterone. We'll work on this and, you know, and fine tuning in a very, like, I start low, go slow with hormones. Hormones are powerful drugs, powerful chemicals. Now, if you have pain, you might have a kidney infection or, you know, it could also be very high stress. That's the energy meridians for fear. Adrenals are a representation of fear. Kidneys and adrenals, fear. So then you're overactive. So you definitely can physically and emotionally experience that. How cool, right? This is just from learning, you know, again, some traditional medicine, part of my international journeys, and applying it to clinical, my clinical practice. When we look at it, especially in women in perimenopause, and I write about this in Keto Green 16, you know, progesterone, precursor hormone, also when that starts to decline in our mid-30s to early 40s, we start getting not just, you know, gynecologic symptoms, we get neurologic symptoms, anxiety, insomnia, decreased libido, irritability, mood swings, all of those are neurologic symptoms.
Perfect, perfect, perfect keto. They are makers of a complete line of keto-friendly supplements and food products. Many unique items that you won't find anywhere else. Everything with exceptional high quality and product cleanliness. That's right. They don't have any artificial ingredients, sweeteners, fillers, binders, or other crap. And they make a point at the company to emphasize education and living a keto-friendly lifestyle. So breaking free of kind of the gimmicks and the idea of swallowing a ketogenic supplement to lose weight. It's not about that. It's about staying aligned with your ketogenic dietary goals with high quality supplement products and the food products. I like to use the Perfect Keto base in and around my high intensity workouts. So what I'm doing is sipping this before, during, and after my sprinting or my high jumping sessions, thereby minimizing inflammation and free radical production at the very time when I need most to be clean burning. So check them out at perfectketo.com. And guess what? Buy one product and get 40% off the second one with the special screaming deal and the code BRAD40. Just go over to the bradkearns.com shopping page, click there, and you'll land on my custom designed homepage at perfectketo.com and automatically get that awesome discount. That's right. Buy one, get 40% off the second product, the best tasting, cleanest fuel on the market, perfectketo.com. Hey, listeners, get ready for a wild and crazy show with Dr. Anna Kabeka, an internationally acclaimed expert in menopause and sexual health and the ketogenic diet. She just wrote a fantastic new book called Keto Green 16, and she's put real live human patients through her 16-day protocol to turn things around. Had generated amazing weight loss results, vitality results, people going off of prescription medication. And you're going to love her holistic approach. She has a broad experience in all kinds of alternative medicine, as well as board certified gynecology obstetrics. She's been in the medical system for so long. She's also a healer from a lot of health challenges over her lifetime. She relates about basically falling apart around the age big 50 with all those medical
menopause symptoms. She had brain fog and was struggling, gained a whole bunch of weight. And then she found the ketogenic diet. She lost 80 pounds. She thought everything was great. And then started to get a little funny. She said she went keto crazy with instability, mood swings, gaining back 20 pounds and feeling really frustrated and digging deeper into the science and the interplay between hormones, the popular male obsession with testosterone. The females are obsessed with estrogen. We both can benefit from the love hormone oxytocin, how to get more of that into our lives and less cortisol, the crazy stress hormone that we overproduce in chronic fight or flight stimulation and destroy our health. She has some wonderful anecdotes from traveling around the world, meeting with natural healers, the studly doctor in Brazil who rips city and has sex all the time at the age of 78. You're going to love this wild soul. She's got a lot of personality, and you'll learn a lot. Take a lot of notes. I took a lot of notes just trying to keep up. So play it slow. Play it again. Learn about testosterone, estrogen, oxytocin, progesterone, and you've heard of alkaline-forming foods and acid-forming foods. Now we're going to talk about alkaline-forming lifestyle behaviors. It's Dr. Anna Kabeca, author of Keto Green 16, and before that, The Hormone Fix. I think you're going to love it. Here we go. Dr. Anna Kabeca, author of Keto Green 16, hitting it hard. You just told me that you're just doing this interview binge, really trying to get the word out. So I'm so glad to catch up to you and hear all about your new book and also your expertise and the hormonal health for males and females, especially as they go on into the upper age groups. And I'm so interested in that and have talked so much about the testosterone boosting behaviors that Brad Kern suggests. And isn't that great? So I'd love to get some time to talk about some of the female considerations and how to optimize female health as we get older and want to be the best we can be.
I am all ready to talk about it. I'm excited. They're my favorite things to discuss.
All right, let's go right into the female aspect in case their busy female listeners want to drop off after 20 minutes. Of course, they're not going to because it's going to be so riveting. But what do we do about this whole deal here with menopause? You hear about the complaints, the concerns, tips and tricks. Should you take hormones? Should you not? Let's set the whole thing straight here.
Yeah. And also like the normal transition versus optimal, right? Like there's that concept of, okay, my labs are normal, but I still don't feel right. Or, you know, I'm, you know, just plugging away, powering through, right? And versus, well, how can I be better? How can I even be more optimal? And that's what we want to do.
I love you jumping in there because we go to the doctor, we take blood tests, everything looks normal, everything looks fine. We routinely, you know, we have our reference points of our peers. And so we sit back and think it's okay to be turning on the television and watching other people perform for the last half of our life or what have you. And even with the blood values, if you want to come up with some examples, that's cool too. But, you know, the testosterone experts I talk to, you don't want normal because normal's sorry ass because you're talking about a bunch of fat, tired, sick humans that eat the wrong foods and don't exercise. So yeah, we're going to optimize with Dr. Anna here.
Absolutely. And I always tell clients, you know, like if you want to be normal, I mean, just look at normal. Labs will draw your normal comparisons, right? So if you sit, you can do this anywhere at any big grocery store or whatever, Walmart, just sit outside Walmart and 8 out of 10 people walking in and out of Walmart are your normal comparisons. Do you want to be normal? That's the question. Or do you want to be that one or two that is just like, you know, has a smile on her face and hooking arms with her husband of 20 or 30 years and are just
20
cheerful.
Or 30 years younger, maybe, who knows?
And I don't know, but, you know, that just love that, you know, committed that soul loving relationship, right? Like, and how good that feels and how good that feels, right? That's what we want to see. We want to be optimal. And that makes a difference because when I first started out, and this is fun to say. And again, also for the men that are listening, hang on because you need to know this. And I often too, Brad will always tell guys as I teach about hormones, for men, there's often the things that you do not want to say to women about their hormones. So maybe we'll hit on a couple of those fun points too. But what is really critical to understand is like, well, way back in 1999, here I was, Emory University trained, I consider one of the best institutions in our nation. I was trained there and I came to practice in Southeast Georgia. And one of my first clients coming in, it was this 5'11", silver haired, 63-year-old CEO of a biotech firm. And she said to me, she says, Dr. Anna, first of all, I've been waiting. I mean, as soon as I heard you were coming down and you were from Emory, I made an appointment with you because there's no other female physicians, you know, in Southeast Georgia, number one. But she goes, I was diagnosed with breast cancer and, or a breast carcinoma in situ. So not breast cancer, but breast carcinoma in situ. And I was told I couldn't have any hormones and, you know, no estrogen. And she goes, you know, I have a vaginal dryness. I have pain when we try to have sex. I don't even want to have sex. And she goes, Dr. Anna, I am a woman of the 60s and I'd rather die than live this way. So help me. Right. And I was like, oh, of course, that's my job. I'm a doctor. Here I am, Dr. Anna. Let me look. I'm trained at a great place. Let me look at my doctor's bag. What do I have? I'm looking. I'm like, shit, I don't have anything for you. So I go to the research. I was a researcher actually for the U.S. Navy. I thought you'd like that. I did research in diving medicine and hyperbaric medicine before I went to medical school. So I just started digging into the research, doing my PubMed searching and I started finding that, well, if you vaginal estrogen isn't contraindicated in women with breast cancer, in fact, the research shows, I mean, this is what now 20, 30 years ago, the research showed 20 years ago, this is that, women who have had a history of breast cancer and use vaginal estrogen, not even ductal carcinoma in situ, but breast cancer and use vaginal estrogen have a better quality of life and longevity than women who don't. And that was really an empowering thing. And then I went on to understand testosterone, DHEA, and how does that function at the cellular level? What was the mechanism of action? How can that work? How can we use that to our favor? And will that increase or decrease the risk of breast cancer? No associated increased risk. So, okay, well, let's use some testosterone. We'll do some vaginal testosterone. We'll work on this and, you know, and fine tuning in a very, like, I start low, go slow with hormones. Hormones are powerful drugs, powerful chemicals. So here I worked with her to help her with that. And that did help her. That improved her quality of life. And she was ecstatic. And let me tell you, I recently ran into her. So she's in her, you know, early 80s now, 83, published a book, still lobbying on Capitol Hill. And I had seen her a couple years back too, and she was in crutches because she was skiing the Black Slope. So I'm like, okay, that is rocking 80, right? At 63, what could have happened? Her trajectory would have been very, very different. And, you know, and being able to see that quality of life, quality improvement. Now I've been in medicine for 30 years. So I've seen, that's what I want to see. I want to see us have a better tomorrow than we have today. But back to that lab value, which is why I got off on this tangent, Brad, to begin with, was I did her labs back in 99. Testosterone was zero and it was read as normal because they were just looking at testosterone in men. And I was like, wait. Again, I was a chemist before med school. I'm like, well, how is that even possible on with the lab company? Oh, because we're using mass spectrometry. Now we're doing else, you know, different types of testing that are more sensitive and we can look at this better. Plus, there are many better ways to look at hormones and we do need to look at them in all ways, urine, saliva, blood, serum. So that can all give us a different picture.
So I suppose if you're feeling lousy, you want to look beyond the traditional approach, which in the example that you tell of the women, it sounds like you did some unusual, controversial, experimental treatments on her that I've never heard of.
Well, justified and well consented. And since then, that has been certainly my specialty. But this is what I write my books about, that it takes more than hormones to fix our hormones. Oh. Hormones are just a part of the picture. And in my hormone prescribing practice, again, a little bit goes a long way in the right client. We want to do as much as we can before we go to hormones or, you know, if we still need them once we've restored the body's natural production and balance, which is key because transitions are important as puberty is, so is menopause and andropause. Those are not disease processes. They are natural. There's a rewiring and there's a reason for it. So we don't want to suppress those transitions. We don't want to suppress menopause and andropause any more than we'd want to suppress puberty in our kids, right? And I think that's a really important point to make, because I'm seeing it suppressed. Here, stay on birth control pills till your mid-50s, and then we'll take you off them. Or, you know, here's testosterone just to, you know, give you these super physiologic levels without ever asking why. And I think that's, and again, it's never just about one hormone. It takes more than hormones to fix our hormones. So as I started getting more skilled in functional medicine and biogenical hormones, I had my own, you know, hormone hell. I recognize how detoxification and this whole, like what I write about my keto green way, is an important nourishing principle and lifestyle principle that combined is powerful, rejuvenating, reinvigorating, which goes beyond just supplementation. That's why it takes more than hormones to fix our hormones.
Oh, so menopause and andropause are normal. We know all about menopause. You can't fight that one too well. But tell me about andropause and what the male can expect to do as a healthy, natural process and how to navigate that. And then same for the female navigating the inevitable menopause. But I haven't heard andropause is spoken about as inevitable or even desirable. It seems like the baseline reaction or the marketing glitz out there is that if you can pump yourself up with hormones, you can be the 80-year-old guy that's hitting on your 80-year-old client and seeing if they can go ski Black Diamond and then have some fun in the condo after.
Well, and it's more than that, right? It's the 80-year-old guy hitting on the 30-year-old client.
Oh, that too.
Right? Right. And that, this is where physiology drives behavior. Testosterone is a powerful drug, and it can certainly, as we see, increase novelty-seeking behaviors and, in excess, increase the divorce rate. So no lie there, right? I always tell clients, you know, men have Viagra and testosterone, and women are just giving vaginal estrogen, which is a weak substitute for, you know, true restorative and regenerative vaginal health. So not to mention libido health. So again, books about it, my blogs about it. But I think this is really important to understand, that when we look at andropause, what we're looking at are low, not just low testosterone levels, but other declining hormone levels and increasing cortisol and insulin resistance. Now we need to fight increasing cortisol and insulin resistance. Brad, part of my journey and my own healing journey took me around the world working with some of the most amazing leading scientists and minds of the world, as well in that same, contacts the most amazing traditional healers from Indonesian medicine man. But I'll never forget, in the south of Brazil near Foz do Iguazu, and I was there and I met a Dr. Wilhelm Vieira. And Dr. Vieira is, studies quantum physics and energetic, MD, studies quantum physics and energetic medicine. So he had the opportunity to speak with him and interrogate him a bit. And so what he, you know, here he said, I was talking about hormones and this, he goes, no hormones. He goes, look at me, 78 years old. I mean, muscular, beautiful, sharp man. He goes, what's important is that our bodies are energetic bodies. You have an orgasm every day and that keeps you healthy, healthy. Oxytocin is the most powerful hormone of our body. You know, it trumps testosterone 1,000-fold, right? Oxytocin, and that we create through loving relationships, the loving, lasting, nurturing, nourishing relationships. It goes beyond sex, right? There's a trust factor, a confidence factor that increases oxytocin. Oxytocin is an anti-aging hormone. It actually, we see muscle cell regeneration with oxytocin. And we know it is the most alkalinizing hormone in our body. Just have a good laugh and then go check your urine pH, which testing urine pH, and I say this on probably every interview, is like another vital sign. And it just helps you not just see how well you're nourishing your body, but how well you're managing stress, which is more important to know now than ever. You know, I created these little pH ketone test strips for pennies a day. You can check every time you use the bathroom and get alkaline. But oxytocin is the most alkalinizing hormone in our body. And we get it from playing with a pet, laughter, being in good community, good conversations with friends. But when stress goes up, oxytocin goes down, right? Yeah. So as we get older, more stress, business related, cortisol is going up. depleting our testosterone, depleting our progesterone, neuroprotective hormone, and certainly we can medicate prematurely with testosterone. Now, I'm not saying, just definitely the older we get, a little bit of testosterone goes a long way. I've lectured on hormones and sexual health and testosterone, even pellet therapy for over a decade now. So there, you know, again, the right, always addressing, there's always a reason. We need to always have a reason to use it and have addressed the underlying reasons for low testosterone. Cause like Dr. Vieira, at 78 years old, was with fabulous muscles and fabulous, you know, energy and vitality and brilliance. And, you know, goes beyond many stories around the world where they don't have the elders with who are living well and long without supplemental hormones. Now, again, you know, there's a lifestyle factor there and there's a reason we need it. I've used testosterone. I'm 53 with a 12-year-old. It's in my hormone troche. A little bit goes a long way. With that said. Where'd we go with that conversation? Yeah,
We have some follow-ups. I want to be clear on what this andropause expectation is and how to navigate it. Best. And then you said that oxytocin trumps testosterone by 1,000 times. And in a practical sense, what do you mean by that? I know the importance of laughter, connection and all that. And it seems like a really interesting point to continue. I want to hit that a little harder here.
Yeah. So, okay. So with andropause, we call this, you know, we've used this terminology in the literature, not in the too recent, past, but what we refer to is this declining androgen level. So declining testosterone predominantly is what we're looking at in this andropause, this transition of time frame, but also declining DHEA. So what does that look like? There's the natural course of our hormones declining. Like, for example, ovaries in women, testes in men produce testosterone, both, but in this transition, as our biologic clock winds down its reproductive potential, right? Testes decreased androgen production. Same with ovaries and women, decreased estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone production. So the adrenal glands have to take over. So these adrenal glands, if you put your hands as fists and you put them right in the back here at your kidneys, you can bang right there. You're banging on your kidneys and your adrenal glands. These are your fight and flight responder. So if you ever have tender points here or anything, you're probably too stressed. Those are also energy meridians, Chinese energy meridians. You can just bang your back right there.
Could also indicate kidney disease. Let's pause the show for all the listeners to try that. Okay, I'm trying it. Okay. Wow, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So those are your adrenal glands. So actually one energy, actually while everyone's listening, keep doing it because that's a strong energy meridian and that will re-energize you. May already feel more awake, more alert, more clear just by doing that. Just bang on your adrenals. Yeah, your adrenals and your kidneys. Now, if you have pain, you might have a kidney infection or, you know, could also be very high stress. That's the energy meridians for fear. Adrenals are a representation of fear. Kidneys and adrenals, fear. So emotional energy of fear. So then you're overactive. So you definitely can physically and emotionally experience that. How cool, right? This is just from learning, you know, again, some traditional medicine, part of my international journeys and applying it to my clinical practice. So what is really cool about that though, as we strengthen our adrenals, one thing we've done, part of my, you know, creation is Mighty Maca Plus, right? So Mighty Maca Plus, this green powder with over 30 superfoods, what we've seen, like how do we restore adrenal function? We reduce stress, increase vitamin C and certainly B vitamins, but maca is a potent adaptogen as well. In this combination is quercetin, turmeric, resveratrol, cat's claw herb, all potent adaptogens and, you know, ingredients that support our body's natural inflammatory response. So we get down the stress and we alkalinize and detoxify. And so in this, we've seen clients, men specifically, in 2 months, increase DHEA, the hormonal precursor to testosterone, by as much as 70 to 200%. in 2 months. And we've seen testosterone levels increase. Yes, I could have prescribed testosterone, but what if we get the body to make its own natural testosterone and to balance it better? So it's not just, again, it's never just about a supplement, a powder, a program, a potion. There's always a combination. There's a combination of lifestyle and everything else that we have to put in our body. You know, I feel really much better now that I pounded on my kidneys. Thank you.
Let's keep the energy going. All right. So you describe how the adrenals are needing to take over when testosterone drops in the example of andropause. And it sounds like that's an undesirable thing for males or females to rely on the stress response rather than hormone balance and the vitality that they get when estrogen is optimized or testosterone is optimized and oxytocin and all these things are flowing.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess our modern trend here with our hyperconnectivity and our bad habits and nutrient deficient diets is we're just kind of flooding the system with stress hormones and relying on that and the terrible ups and downs that occur with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that, you know, again, when cortisol goes up, oxytocin goes down. And so we are more stressed, you know, and they're even just thinking of ways we can increase oxytocin. I was thinking there, you know, certainly we can supplement with oxytocin, but right, you hear me saying that is not first choice, right? And I have prescribed oxytocin. I have used oxytocin
I've never heard of that. I know there's OxyContin, which people confuse with the term oxytocin. So you're talking about dispensing actual oxytocin hormone as a protocol?
Yes. Yeah. And again, that wouldn't be my first choice, but as a obstetrician, I'm very comfortable giving oxytocin, hence Pitocin to women in labor.
Okay. Right.
Pitocin is oxytocin. And so there's a tremendous amount of safety with it. You know, low doses go a long way. It creates that bonding, that attachment. Same with orgasm, a tremendous amount of oxytocin, especially for women, experiences that bonding, that attachment phenomenon. And it's a powerful, again, hormones are powerful neurochemicals. They are neurochemicals. They affect our mind, affect our thoughts. And so we feel that with oxytocin. And in the case of, as I used it for sexual health, clients, for patients to help with orgasm or sensation, or sometimes with, you know, loss of desire, to help increase the sense of pleasure. That's certainly one thing. I use, you know, my Jolva cream now to help with the changes with age, but also in that area, well, like, you know, you get mixed results with that because there's often other underlying reasons why there are issues, especially with libido or sex drive. But as I had gone through my own trauma, my own PTSD, my own loss and grief and depression, and again, I write about that in my books, my story, which I won't get into here, but as I, you know, recognize this, the effect of cortisol on oxytocin, that disconnect, started using oxytocin to help me with my PTSD. And then I saw it everywhere. I saw it I had a 47-year-old male client who came in to see me on referral. He had a complete detachment issue with his wife and child. And he said this to me, because you start asking the questions that, you know, all of a sudden your eyes see it, right? And he said to me, you know, Dr. Anna, I love my wife. I love my daughter. I just don't feel love for them. And I'm like, okay, well, what's been going? Because he was depressed. And that's why he was sent in to see me. Even though I'm a gynecologist, it takes a strong man to come into a gynecologist to see, you know, okay, I'm triple boarded, but, you know, beside that. And so I said, well, what's happened? What happened? Maybe, you know, typically 2 years, or how, when did these symptoms start? And typically within, you know, 2 years, before the symptoms start, there was some trauma, and he was in an oil rig and that exploded. And so he had traumatic brain injury as well as PTSD. And so under the surface, that cortisol continues to surge, run its ugly head. I mean, PTSD is like a seizure disorder, in my opinion. This is me saying this, Brad. So this is like when you have one seizure, you might not ever have a second seizure. We know this in neurology. But if you have two, we know you're going to have a third. So imagine PTSD is like you go down that pathway once and again and again and again and again. And all of a sudden you've got this you know, well-formed neurologic pathway that's destructive, essentially. And cortisol kind of, you know, facilitates that in one way or another. So you get this constant cortisol. And when cortisol goes up, oxytocin goes down. And then when cortisol is up for too long, our brain, you know, we suppress cortisol production. And then we're in this really disconnected state where you don't, your cortisol is low and oxytocin's low, and you don't feel love. You don't enjoy the activities you used to enjoy. You're burnt out. You know, and you express, it's like, I know, I hear this, you know, again, once I understood it, I heard it, you know, my patient would say, I love my husband. I don't feel love for him. Well, what's going on? Well, I'm having, you know, I'm really stressed at work. I've been working 16-hour days and this, that. I see it a lot in physicians with burnout. I see it a lot. And so, okay, well, temporarily, let's give you some oxytocin on the way. You know, I test, do a quiz. I typically would do an injection, look at a response, and then prescribe oxytocin along with these other activities, everything else that I write about in my books. And so it is, because nothing beats the habits that we create to empower our nervous system and our hormonal system, our neuroendocrine system. So I, you know, I prescribed, for example, this gentleman, Marcos, who was 47, I started prescribing him some trochia of oxytocin, a small dose. I think I started at 20, went to 40 a day. And it just shifted because he, all of a sudden he could feel that again. And then he's like, then he, you know, had the confidence to start doing other activities to increase oxytocin, you know, the loving more, playing more, laughing more, you know, because trauma is trauma. You're in a state sometimes of anhedonia and you just have no joy. And so, okay, what do I need to do to create joy? What's the funny, who's the funniest person I know? What's the best, funniest movie I know? What, you know, having intimacy and connection and loving, intercourse with your wife, having sex, that can make and or husband making a huge difference in your quality of life and also to experience that really powerful hormone oxytocin. But then again, we have to stop that pattern by trauma that continues to drive cortisol. So that's where heart math comes in, emotional freedom technique, EMDR, and, you know, many other ways that we can really work on changing that neural pathway. Because it goes beyond, I just need to think myself better. That's part of it, but it goes way beyond that. Do you see
it
that?
Sounds like, yeah, it sounds like the pharmaceutical intervention is recommended when you're in a pit and can't get out. And I like that description of now he had the spirit to go and engage in further oxytocin producing behaviors. I can imagine the same thing for a low testosterone male who's too tired to go work out and lift weights and get a testosterone spike from that or do whatever testosterone boosting behaviors. So, you know, once we're kind of stabilized, I guess the holistic approach would be to see how things go and monitor what intervention you're using and, you know, aspire to being like that Brazilian doctor. I want to know more of his secrets, the 78-year-old guy who's having an orgasm every day and full of muscles and vitality and energy.
I know. Amazing, right? Totally amazing. And many more like him, but that was eye-opening to me. And it also, you know, it really did, you know, in looking at functional medicine and I talk about this all the time when I had the opportunity to help my father when he was 79 years old, when his physicians had given up on him and I was able to come in with testosterone, with, you know, a keto early version of my keto green plan. And within 30 days, he lost 30 pounds. Went from 120 units of insulin a day to 20 units of insulin a day, went from having to be pushed around in a wheelchair because he was exhausted to being out on the tennis court with the kids. And he lived, Brad, you'll love this. He lived a beautiful 12 more years and died at 91, fully cognizant, fully, you know, with it, still challenging us for speed test in Sudoku. I mean, and that's what we can have when our current medical system is like, and this is what his doctor told me, Anna, your dad's 79. I mean, he's had a good life.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hear that
so
a lot.
Frustrating.
And that's not okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The other thing for both men and women that goes under, and again, with bioidentical hormones, everyone, you know, keto green, right? This takes more than hormones to fix our hormones. And again, a plan and a program to help with that. But also progesterone for both men and women. And that's often under is the bioidentical natural progesterone. For me, it's my Pure Balance PPR cream, which has progesterone and pregnenolone. These are neuroprotective hormones, and they naturally decline as we get older. And also in times of stress, cortisol robs your progesterone. Progesterone is neuroprotective. And we forget that, you know, I would use this in clients in male, and we always use it. I use it in women, especially in the menopause with or without a uterus. It's very important. I'm going to say that again, because with or without a uterus, bioidentical progesterone is very important in the menopausal, postmenopausal woman. It just is a little bit goes a long way. We use it cyclically, or, you know, a few days off a month if we're not cycling anymore. And it is helpful for a good night's sleep. And it is one of our mother hormones. And so really important one. I use it in men too, with depression, with difficulty sleeping. It is the best relaxer. A little bit goes a long way for men. 5 to 10 milligrams in a topical for men, 20 milligrams in a topical for women.
Yeah, I had a guest named Dr. Michael Platt. I'm sure you've heard of him. He's a big promoter of the progesterone, bioidentical progesterone. And it sounded like almost a blanket recommendation for anybody in the upper age groups to use that, men and women, although it's generally been regarded as used by mostly females. Is that where we're at?
Yeah, you know, and what was really, because I mentioned I trained at Emory University, and we did in the neuro ICU at Emory, they started studies over a decade, two decades ago, looking at IV. What they noticed is women on their, you know, premenstrual, so in their luteal phase, did better post-TBI, you know, and they didn't understand it. So one observant, again, the beauty, the clinical acumen of these physicians, the observance is so key. Just like our observance with the coronavirus, that it's like an altitude sickness kind of phenomenon that we're seeing, right? And it changes the way you treat people. And so what they noticed, when they noticed that, they said, well, what is it about progesterone? Well, progesterone's a neuroprotective hormone. It is receptors all throughout our brain. So they started doing IV progesterone, bioidentical progesterone. And when they did that, they had fabulous results. I spoke with a scientist myself, the physicians, the leading the studies myself. And they said, as, you know, they're randomizing, at that point they were randomized clinical trials. And they said, you know, Anna, if any of our family here was to come in with a TBI, the first thing we would do would give them IV progesterone. And for me, that is proof of the pudding. And speaking with one of the lead physicians on the study as well, he goes, not synthetic, not, you know, not progesterone with anything else attached to it, but bioidentical progesterone. And that makes a big difference, because then the pharmaceutical started creating a progesterone, like, for example, progesterone caprate that's been used in women for preterm labor. It's not pure, you know, and it doesn't work the same way. And that was a shift in study results, unfortunately, when that happened. Mm-hmm. But till this day, they, you know, that is really important research looking at progesterone in the brain. And when we look at it, especially in women in perimenopause, and I write about this in Keto Green 16, you know, progesterone, precursor hormone. Also, when that starts to decline in our mid-30s to early 40s, we start getting not just, you know, gynecologic symptoms, we get neurologic symptoms, anxiety, insomnia, decreased libido, irritability, mood swings, all of those are neurologic symptoms. Well, guess what? The brain's ability to produce glucose, so gluconeogenesis in the brain, is an estrogen-dependent process. So no wonder our brains are kind of starving unless we shift to ketones. And that's why your keto for life, so important. Keto green, so important, especially in this perimenopause, menopause. And that's why fasting, we do so well with fasting. We just do so well when we shift to, and we have to do keto right, but we do so well when we shift into ketosis cognitively. Let me tell you, you know, I'm 53 with a 12-year-old. When I was 48, I was spiraling down. This is, you know, the discovering the Keto Green Way helped me. I mean, I was having trouble remembering my kids' names, let alone being able to run a business. And I was near broke. And I went from there, discovering this Keto Green Way, to, you know, applying this into my life, the principles, fine-tuning it with research and science and case studies after case studies. And, you know, writing two books, you know, launching three programs, and being here talking with you about all this good stuff.
So we've been talking hormones so much, and your first book was The Hormone Fix, getting into all this that we've conversed about. And then, of course, that diet component is so huge. And that's why if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the excitement on Anna's face when she's talking about Keto Green 16 and the discussions we had offline. And I like you pointing out that you have to do it the right way. You know, keto's now become sort of a popular term and a craze, and a large percentage of it seems to be, you know, kind of ridiculous, ill-advised, missing the point, and so forth. So you made it through all the scrutiny to get as a guest on the interview because you know how to do this stuff right.
I'm honored.
I think it's time to get into the book. Tell me what the term Keto Green 16 really means, and then hit some of your hot points, that especially how they tie in with the hormonal aspects. Instead of just talking about how many grams of carbs to eat, we're going to go a little deeper here with Dr. Anna.
Oh, yeah. You know, getting keto green, like this whole concept. And for me, it was really important to understand what the shift was for me. You know, when I was 48 and I was struggling, you know, spiraling down, where I was experiencing everything my patients experienced, brain fog, mood swings, irritability, you know, memory loss. And that was really traumatic for me, you know, and also, I experienced what my patients would come in complaining. They'd come in and complain, "Dr. Anna, I'm gaining 5, 10, 20 pounds and I'm not doing anything different." So as a young cocky doctor, I think to myself, never say, but oh, really, you're not? How is that possible, right? Like, surely you're driving through an extra meal a day or something. And lo and behold, 5, 10, 20 pounds overnight without doing anything different. And Brad, at one point, I had been over 240 pounds. I lost 80 pounds, kept them off solid and easily for a decade. And without doing anything different, you know, God will make me humble, I gained 20 pounds, what seemed like overnight. And if anyone listening had lost a significant amount of weight, and you start gaining it back like that, and you're like, when's it going to stop? I'll be 300, you know? And so that's what took me into keto. But I felt irritable, agitated. I didn't have keto flu. I called it keto crazy. I was irritable.
So wait, you weighed 240 pounds and you lost 80 and then you gained 20.
Yeah.
So you thought you were peaches and cream and sailing off into the sunset with this wonderful success story. And then things started slipping. And this is coinciding with your age around 48 that you're talking about, this story?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
So you gained that 20 and then you started to have more empathy for your patients and wonder what the heck was going on.
Exactly. Exactly. And so that's where I really drove low carb, you know, higher fats, very followed keto. I prescribed it for patients with neurologic disorders and similarly with patients with candida or chronic yeast, et cetera. You know, we want to restrict the carbs, but I was hitting those high fats and those macros and I did not like how I felt. But first question was why? Why am I feeling this way? Why are my neurotransmitters off? What's happening? My hormones were dialed in, right? Bioidentical hormone replacement, my field of specialty. Dialed in. So what else was going on here? And that's why I say it takes more than hormones to fix our hormones. Because with that, I went to my functional medicine roots, do what I told my patients to do, check your urine pH. Urine pH is alkaline. You're likely detoxing better and your body has a stronger, you know, stronger foundation. So let's look at that. I was as acidic as the urine pH paper would read. Like I went to 5, I think, but who knows? Cause that was as low as the paper would read. So I immediately start.
What does that represent, Dana?
Oh, acidity.
What the heck's going on?
Yeah. So when your urine pH should be like ideally 7, 7.5, we know, and you know, 7.5, 8, that 7 is neutral, but anything above 7, we consider alkaline. Below 7 is acidic. What scientific papers and research has shown is that when your urine pH is more alkaline, 7.5, 0.5, seven, above 7, it looks like, we have decreased risk of diabetes, hypertension, heart disease. Again, that's really powerful. Cancer, osteoporosis, all of those things. So when we're more acidic, all of those risks increase and inflammation increases. And so we have to think, okay, why? How are we nourishing our body? One thing is the food we eat. So I started, that was an aha moment for me though. When I was so acidic, I was like, no wonder I'm irritable. No wonder, you know, I'm agitated. I'm feeling inflamed. My body's not liking this. I'm not grounded. You know, it's an added stress and I'm missing something, right? I'm missing something. So of course, get my Nancy Drew hat on. I love being the Nancy Drew of medicine. So here I go. And I, you know, I start checking my urine pH and adding in the dark green leafies, the kale, the collards, the beet greens, all the dark green leafies, right? That I can do and eat. And I'm getting more alkaline. I'm feeling better. The keto crazies are going away. And then every time I note and checking every time I use the bathroom, you know, test, don't guess type philosophy, checking urine pH, checking ketones. And, the mornings I walked on the beach, Brad, I was more alkaline all day. The mornings I did my gratitude journaling, I was more alkaline all day. So I asked the question, why? These lifestyle factors are, so that's why, you know, we say 93% of diets fail because it's not just about what we eat, right? The food we eat is important. The combinations are important. I'm doing everything I can to chemically, you know, create simple menus that work to support our body's hormonal balance. But what's really fascinating is that when we are stressed, cortisol decreases urine pH, makes us more acidic. And it's just a function of what cortisol does across the, you know, across the renal tubules of the kidneys. But, you know, so when we're stressed, we become more acidic. So when we do activities that decrease cortisol, increase oxytocin, we become more alkaline, hence associated with all the life-giving properties of life, you know, all the health qualities. So again, not just about what we eat, maybe who we're eating with. Either builds us up, makes us laugh, gives us oxytocin, or stresses us out, makes us acidic, and doesn't matter how freaking perfect our diet and our macros and our micronutrients are.
Right. Not just who you're eating with, but your perception of the whole program and yes. Whether you're doing it for the right reasons, whether you're still harboring, you know, anger, guilt, resentment, negative emotions, and applying those to your rigid dietary protocols and it's never going to be good enough and all that kind of thing. So opening exactly. up the, opening up the picture a little bit from your food choices. So we have alkaline lifestyle behaviors. I'm making that up, or maybe you made yes. it up, but, we usually have only, heard of this spoken in terms of this food's an acid forming food. This food's an alkaline food. And some people, I'm glad you're shaking your head because some people, reject that, entirely that the foods are even contributing much to that.
I definitely, the foods do contribute. That is yeah. an important part. Those alkaline foods supporting the microbiome, supporting the gut health, absolutely essential, but yeah. alkalinizing lifestyle behaviors. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you can think what you want, but if you look at the list of acid forming foods versus the list of alkaline forming foods, it's kind of like, vegetable oil, sugar, you know, all this nasty stuff happens to be acid forming. And then you have a lot of good stuff to some exception. I think the meat and stuff is on the acid forming list too, but you're trying to create that balance, I think is what we're getting at. But I love bringing that lifestyle element in there too. So I guess you went on this healing journey and discovered you're more alkaline when you walk on the beach and then take it from there.
Yeah. And that's how that's how the Keto Green Way became about. Not only did I feel amazing and clear, because apparently my brain was suffocating from glucose, not being able to utilize glucose. So I shift to ketones in this alkaline environment, no more keto crazy. I had this energized enlightenment, this clarity, that aha moment. And not only that, but I lost 20 pounds, like the 20 pounds back within weeks after, you know, struggling, starving, doing everything else that I tried to do. And so that, you know, that was life transforming. And then I took 8 of my most difficult patients and ran them through my program, created it, fine-tuned it from there to thousands online. And then my first book, The Hormone Fix, and now Keto Green 16, which we've been doing clinical studies in group medical visits and looking at, you know, clients following the protocol over 16 days and what kind of results they're getting. And many clients are staying in again for another protocol. Even during this coronavirus, we went virtually with our group medical visits, and I'm there, you know, to support and answer questions. But they followed the protocol. The results were amazing. We had one guy, we had to throw out his results. So one guy, Daniel, 57 years old, on blood pressure medicine, about to start metformin by his attending physician, his prescribing physician. In 16, he joined the program with his wife, so he was the only man. And in that 16 days, he had this one episode of low blood sugar. Like he thought it was either sinuses, he was feeling weak. And so he went to see his physician who checked, and it, you know, first had to rule out, you know, coronavirus. Nope, nope, not those symptoms. So checked his blood pressure, and his blood pressure was 100 over 70. He typically ran like 170 over 90 to 100 and was on blood pressure med. So she had to wean him, you know, weaning him off. He's on a fraction of his blood pressure medicine. He lost 30 pounds in 16 days and he feels great. Never had to start metformin. And then the women in the study, because I'm looking, I want specifically studying the hardest, most metabolically conservative group of us, those in my age range, so 50 to 60, the average age in this group, this study, this group that went through it with us was 61.6 years old. 61.6 in 16 days, average weight loss, 9 pounds. Average symptom score improvement over 50%. Like I'm odd. I'm like, y'all are doing better than I'm doing. What is going on here? Right. And it, and they also said, thank you for giving us, something to focus on that was healthy and empowering and strengthening. And we weren't, and making us test our urine pH and ketones so we could see how stress of the news and the pandemic was affecting us. And shift to this positive mind, body, nourishing lifestyle. And so I love that. I thought that was just, it is just perfect.
Yeah, those are big numbers. And
huge.
I wonder,
those are huge, surprising, especially in this age group. I mean, we see it. The studies are always in young athletic men, right? Or, you know.
I got a six pack in 16 days. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I say to that? No, you don't want to know. No.
Good for you. Know how those, you've seen those contest winners in the before and after, like in the bodybuilding magazines. And the secret, the backstage secret is what's going on there is it's not before and after. It's before, after, and before. So in other words, you take this incredibly ripped specimen with the six pack and the muscles bulging, and then you sit that person on the couch for 6 weeks and they eat food and don't work out and drink a lot and bloat up to take their before picture. And then all they do is get back in shape and all of a sudden they're, you know, a miracle.
That's terrible. I hate that. That's so deceiving.
Well, you know, you win $100,000 prize. There's going to be high stakes people coming into that game. But, when you talk about those big numbers, clearly there's something else going on, like a reduction in inflammation and water retention due to, lowering their life stress levels and all kinds of, metabolic things happening. Can you describe beyond losing body fat? Because you can't lose that much body fat in 16 days.
That's true, right? It decreased, like what you're creating is cellular health. So there's a natural diuresis that goes on with that. We looked to see, we weren't able to measure in person body fat percentage because of the coronavirus in this group. Mm. But what we know in the past, we're maintaining muscle. And that's really an important distinction to make. But what we're seeing is improved cellular health. What are women, men experiencing as they're getting older, this high blood pressure, lower extremity edema, those are leaky membranes, right? So the combination of foods, of, you know, we supplement with the Keto Green Shake and the Mighty Maca Plus. We certainly encourage that. And then when they don't have to, that's optional. But, you know, doing things through the food combinations that really empower cellular health and the intermittent fasting. So we're creating insulin sensitivity, managing cortisol, which is causing those leaky membranes, right? They're testing on a daily basis, multiple times during the day. They naturally will diurese and they will also naturally improve their gut health, their digestion, their, bowel function, all of that stuff's improved. And so again, with the improvement of over 50% in symptom scores, that medical symptom toxicity score is something that many of us functional medicine physicians use. And we use it not just in, you know, looking at weight and everything else. It's measuring your mood. It's measuring your arthritic pain. It's measuring your sinus, you know, like your, the questions regarding your sinuses, your, a wide range of issues. So it's really, so that's what's so powerful to see this shift in 16 days. And I think also because we were doing it in community, that may, even though it's a virtual community, we were doing
still
it in
counts.
Community, it still counts and it's powerful. That's oxytocin. And it, and that's
oxytocin
powerful.
Through the computer screen. Oh my gosh.
Like we're having right
the
now.
Infectious
I'm feeling
smiling.
It.
Yeah. Feeling the energy swirling around my closet recording studio here. Great stuff. Dr. Anna, I got to say, I've done a lot of podcasts, but this one, I think I've taken more notes. I'm sorry to keep looking away from the screen, but there's so much going on here. And I encourage the listener, this is like a double listen because we got to go back and carefully go through that. You threw some science in there, but so well described and applied into real life parameters. So I think it was very informative. And then when we talk about this book, it sounds like we're going to get a lot of great information, but we're also going to pull the trigger for this 16-day journey, right? And tell me what to expect and what kind of commitment we need to make if we're going to go through this virtually by ourselves or through the offerings you have on your website.
Yeah, when you go through it. So Brad, I want to see you in my Keto Green community. We'll be doing a great challenge there. And it'll be also like right now, I've been just showing up lives. I felt called to do this to serve my community. And I've been doing daily lives. And I really feel like that's building some health and resilience in my community. So we're starting to see that, that positive shift. And so with Keto Green 16, I'm going to be doing it again, live in the community, answering questions, being part of this accountability and encouraging wise body of humans that are coming together with the same purpose in mind. Like the healthier we are, the healthier our family is, the healthier our community is, the healthier our world is, right? It goes beyond us, the exposome as it's called. And so that's powerful. So within 16 days, 16 key ingredient types, we work to do 16-hour intermittent fasting. And if there's a novice who's like, I can't go more than 12 hours, I promise you we're going to be able to get you there. There's a beginner, intermediate, and a advanced program. There's also a whole chapter in there for men's health that, I designed because so many men come along with their significant other on the journey. And I love seeing that. That powerful commitment together makes it all better. And then again, just coming on, bring a friend and let's do this together. 16 days, 16-hour intermittent fasting. And the number 16, you know, I didn't know this. This is just kind of like some of that woo-woo stuff that, you know, I think is very interesting. Someone said to me, well, what does the number 16 mean? I'm like, well, first of all, I like sweet 16. I just chose number 16. There's research to say that in 16 days we can get results. And, you know, and there's no one's failed a 16-day program because there's not another 16-day program that I'm aware of. Anyway, so that's good. That's a good track record, right? And so something different. We want to not do the same thing each time. And then looked up the number 16. So apparently it's associated with willpower and intuition. And, you know, and I think that's pretty cool because I want people to discern for themselves what makes them feel good and what doesn't. What, and that's where my, you know, my plan distinguishes itself because I do have you testing and not just guess, right? I want you to check and see and discern what's working for you, what's not working for you, what makes you feel better, what doesn't. And we move from there. So. It's fun. It's 16 days. We can do it.
You can do it. What else we got to do? We're hanging around, killing time. So go check out Dr. Anna. Join her on social media, website. Where do we find you?
Thank you. DrAnna.com. So like Dranna, DRANNA.com. My
wow,
website
no one had
definitely.
That? You grabbed that for yourself? That's impressive.
Thank you. I did have to pay a little bit for it, but it was good. It was worth it. And it's easy. Quebec is a little bit more challenging, but my Facebook is at Dr. Anna C and Instagram at Dr. Anna Quebeca. So, and definitely sign, I encourage people to join the Keto Green community and sign up to my newsletter. It's been fun way to interact and really communicate with my audience. I'm more involved now than I have been in the last few years as, you know, I'm really shifting to understand how important, like, you as a leader, me as an influencer, you know, and as a mom and taking care of my daughters and my community and my teams, that, you know, just showing up and being involved and letting people know that I really do care. I care about what happens to them and I care that they get results. And, I'm authentically on the journey with you.
Well said. Great finish, Dr. Anna. Thank you so much for the show. Good luck with your Keto Green 16, the exciting book launch here in the early part of 2020. And we'll have to check back with you in the future and just get a little deeper. We went on to so many wonderful topics. Nice coverage, though.
Thank you. Thank you. This was fun, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Dun, 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 dun. Thank you for listening to the show. We would love your feedback at getoveryourselfpodcast@gmail.com. And we would also love if you could leave a rating and a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. I know it's a hassle. You have to go to desktop iTunes, click on the tab that says ratings and reviews, and then click to rate the show anywhere from 5 to 5 stars. And it really helps spread the word so more people can find the show and get over themselves because they need to. Thanks for doing it.